The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be reading about VX-765 and how it has been found to limit disease progression in a preclinical model of multiple sclerosis by blocking a protein called capsaicin 1. The anti-inflammatory medication VX-765, which is delivered through the nose, was found to limit disease progression in a preclinical model of multiple sclerosis by blocking a protein called capsaicin-1. The medication helped prevent damage to brain cells in mice. Researchers from the University of Alberta in Canada showed that injecting VX-765, a known capsaicin inhibitor, into the noses of mice reduced signs of nerve cell degeneration seen in response to the protein's activation. The study, Intranasal Anti-Capsaicin 1 Therapy, preserves myelin and glucose metabolism in a model of progressive multiple sclerosis, was published in the journal Glia. Intranasal medications hold several advantages over other delivery methods, the researchers said. It is a lot easier for patients because you need less of the drug. It is a direct delivery into the brain. It does not go into the circulatory system. It is not broken down as quickly, Christopher Power, MD, a neurologist and the study's senior author, said in a university press release. Capsaicin-1 has been eyed as a potential therapeutic target in MS based on evidence showing that it contributes to the loss of myelin, a hallmark of MS, as well as to nerve cell death. Myelin insulates nerves like the plastic coating covering electrical wires. Without it, nerve signals are more easily disrupted, leading to common MS symptoms such as numbness and muscle spasms. Nerve cells in the brain are insulated wires, but in MS there is initially a loss of the insulation and then the eventual loss of wire, Power said. Those losses are caused by inflammation. That inflammation, which we think is the driving force for multiple sclerosis, is our main research interest. According to the team, previous studies suggested that blocking capsaicin-1 resulted in improved outcomes in different MS models. Since VX-765 is a capsaicin-1 inhibitor, the researchers hypothesized that it could be a therapeutic candidate for MS. Applying a technique called RNA sequencing to brain slices from people both with and without MS, the researchers first showed that the gene for capsaicin-1, CASP1, was more active in normal appearing white matter of MS. Normal appearing white matter refers to brain tissue dense with nerve fibers that appears healthy despite diseased at the microscopic level. The researchers next cultured, grew in a lab dish, nerve cells from mice and treated them with a pro-inflammatory protein called TNF-alpha, which is known to be highly active in the central nervous systems of people with MS. The TNF-alpha treatment resulted in capsaicin-1 activation, reducing the activity of the gene for myelin and leading to nerve death, the investigators found. Building upon this observation, the team treated mice with a chemical called colprazone, known to trigger demyelination, or the loss of myelin, and to mimic progressive MS in humans. As seen before, this appeared to induce capsaicin-1 activation and cause the loss of nerve cells. However, when the researchers injected VX-765 into the noses of mice, a reduction in the effects of all three events was seen. Specifically, capsaicin 1, induction, myelin loss, and nerve cell degeneration were all mitigated with intranasal treatment. Treatment with VX-765 also preserved the brain's ability to take up the simple sugar glucose or glucose metabolism, an activity that is disrupted in the brains of MS patients. The current studies are first demonstration that intranasal delivery of a capsaicin-1 inhibitor leads to improved outcomes in an established model of progressive MS, the researchers wrote. Furthermore, by blocking capsaicin-1 with VX-765, neuroinflammation was reduced in the present model with concurrent protection of myelin and axons. The researchers said having therapy that's easy to administer through the nose represents an appealing opportunity to improve outcomes among people with progressive MS. Power position emission tomography, otherwise known as PET scans, an imaging technique using radioactive substances to visualize changes in the body, helped the researchers to look at brain metabolism as part of the study. The study shows intranasal therapy is effective in preventing demyelination and axon injury and loss, so that's a real tonic for us to keep going, Power said. The loss of myelin and loss of nerves are irreversible processes, so any therapeutic that helps to slow or prevent that from happening is an exciting advance for MS research.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Jesse Ace.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hey everyone, my name is Jesse Ace, and I'm one of the columnists for MS News Today. I'll be reading one of my articles from my Disabled to Enabled series.
Starting a podcast, how I fought past mental barriers to help others. You're chronically ill, super anxious, crazy shy, unconfident, and have no interview skills whatsoever. To some, that recipe may sound like a terrible concoction to start a podcast. However, for me, I just knew that it was something that I had to do. I had to share people's stories. I had to raise awareness of these different conditions. On May 30th, 2019, World MS Day, we launched our podcast. It's been a crazy whirlwind of a year, and I'm so proud that my podcast has blossomed into a platform that raises awareness of different illnesses and makes the invisible visible. It's not what I expected to do after an MS diagnosis in my 20s. My previous experience with podcasts was listening to business podcasts in a van while driving up and down the country. My husband was a wedding singer, and every weekend we were at one event or another. Often, we were at multiple functions in a single weekend at completely different locations. I remember listening to an episode of a podcast called Entrepreneur on Fire. It's a business podcast that we both enjoyed. At the end of the show, the guest would say what their favourite book was and some other useful sort of tidbits. I always frantically pulled out my phone at this point to write notes about what the books were so I could read them later. It saved me hours of searching for my next book, and I loved it. I also love the lightheartedness of this podcast. Like, the host always focused on what lights up the guest rather than what concentrating on what's super hard for them right now. I thought, how cool would it be if a chronic illness podcast existed that acknowledged hardships, but then focused on the right side of what someone has managed to do since their diagnosis, as well as changing how people think about their illness by focusing on the positive side of the story and what they learn. When I get my heart set on an idea, it's the only thing that I can see. Questions followed, flying around my head 24/7. What should I call this podcast? Who should I interview? How do I even start a podcast? I was so excited. I planned, researched, and freaked out a little bit. Eventually, I got to a screw it, just do it kind of attitude, which is Richard Branson's favourite quote. We called the podcast Disabled to Enabled, based on the initial shock of being told that I was disabled, which really didn't fit with me at all. I was ready to interview. But who do I interview first? Friends and family? Acquaintances? No, that would be far too easy. I went straight into the deep end to interview none other than the creative director of the National MS Society in the US. Sometimes I am my own worst enemy. With minimal tech rehearsal and zero interview rehearsal, this shy, totally unconfident, non-techie girl with MS did her first interview. She managed to stumble through it and make it out alive with the hopes of getting better quickly. I've since interviewed everyone from actors to Paralympians, radio DJs to CEOs and patient advocates, to people who started charities after a diagnosis. It has been amazing. I've made so many mistakes with this chronic illness podcast. There have been so many days I've gone to record an episode with a guest and totally freaked out about my brain fog and how I couldn't string a sentence together. I worried about what question to ask next during an interview. I worried about how to record adverts for the first time. I mean, so many of them sounded so bad. I've even had conversations in which I'd get through the entire interview only for the guest to tell me at the end that I'd pronounced the name wrong the entire time. Rookie mistake. I needed to go through that to learn how not to do those things, however awful it was at the time. And I'm so proud to where we've gotten to. I never expected after a year and a half to have released almost 200 episodes and had 27,000 downloads. That's crazy. It just proves what you can do when you really put your mind to it. I've learned so much from the guests that we've interviewed as well. Like, I started running and did my first 10K after speaking with marathon runner Cheryl Heil, who has completed nearly 60 marathons. I've made new friends and had some fantastic business opportunities off the back of my podcast. I could not be prouder of myself pushing through those mental barriers of being so anxious and taking the leap into the unknown, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. It means so much to me that people download and enjoy the show too. I also love to read the amazing comments from listeners who tell me that my show has helped them accept their illness. Of course, I am not on my own in this crazy journey. I wouldn't be here where I am today without my right-hand lady who helps me to edit the podcasts and keeps me sane when I'm freaking out. I'm grateful to all the volunteers who helped me to run the podcast and also our Enabled Warriors Facebook tribe. You guys rock.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.